Today, I'm like, I came in and I call my wife and I'm like, Jack, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed with what God's doing. Nice to see you, Ryan. Come on. I'm overwhelmed with what God's doing, watching what God's doing, watching what He's doing, that your school's going to be completely wrecked. Oh, no joke, man. Oh, just watching it. It's just amazing. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, God. Like, Jack, I don't even know what's going on. I can hardly, like, right now, I can hardly hold it together. I'm like, try to beatbox so I can be okay. Oh, you have no idea, man. My heart is like, it's been pounding. I'm like, we got dinner tonight. I can't eat, man. I just can't. I got my heart is like so wrenched in a place, man, where the reality of God has to be poured out. We have to get the reality of why we're here. We have to have something to live for. That boy at that school that died today, it was suicide, man. He killed himself. No more. No more. Oh, man. Suicide is such a cop-out. The devil is depressed. He's angry. He's bitter. He's trying to make you just like him. There's no room for depression in the body of Christ. None. We have every reason to be amazingly cheerful. Your life is not your potter. Jesus Christ is. Him crucified is. Him raised from the dead is your life. That's who you are, regardless of what you think. Now, I have people that are like, well, you know what? I have problems with people lifting their hands and being really charismatic. But they don't have a problem with someone cutting them off and having a charismatic worship service for the devil in your car. What is that? So that's what it is. Charismatic, the lifting of hands, what is that? You're going to do it some way, somehow. You ought to worship the right God with it. Really? Come on, man. I am 7 years old in the Christ. None of us have any excuse. None. You can all burn with passionate fire. You can set your whole life ablaze and everybody can watch you burn. I think it was John Wesley that said, I'll set myself on fire and let the whole world watch me burn. The whole world watch me burn. Come on, man. That's what it's about. It's about what are you? Who are you? What do you worship? If you can't see what you worship through your life, you really don't worship. You worship you. Think what you want, man. I'm going to confront that stuff. Why? Because we need to drive a sword deep and cut the head straight off that thing. Because it's holding us back. It's binding us to lies, man. It's binding us to who we're not so we can never see who we are. Jesus is compassionate. Look, you don't have to like be like me. You don't have to be animated, but you got to be the best you. And you ought to be passionate about this thing. You ought to have some kind of fire burning inside of you. It ought not be a fire for rage. We're real easy at getting mad, getting angry, putting our fists through walls. And I was a professional at that stuff, man. It's all I did. And I found out why that thing is on the earth. Because the devil is really mad. He's cut off. There's no chance. He's done. And he wants to make us just like him. Now, I was in Australia before I came here. And, you know, Seattle is like the leading, like, suicide rate, right? In America. Well, Australia got you beat. The teen suicide rate is the highest in the world. They have 20 million people in their nation. 20 million in the whole nation. New York City has 9 million. Australia has 20 million. The whole country, and it's as big as the United States. And I walked around and I talked to these youth. I talked to these people. And I'm like, hey, man, this is what I see in your life. Yeah. Yeah, this is what you're called to be. What do you want to do? What do you want to be? Oh, nothing. What do you mean nothing? Are you kidding me? Yeah, well, you know. No, I don't know. And I was just like, blaze fire, dude. And these youth and these people and the gyms and the places I worked out, they would just like be overwhelmed with God. Don't even know what to do with it. I used a gym in 4 days when I was over there. Man, I live this thing. It's not just about me preaching to you from some pulpit. It's about my life, man. I burned my whole realm. Everybody in my family was against me. I went through lots and lots and lots of stuff. Man, I burn with passion regardless of who's against me. It doesn't matter because God is for me. And I know who I am. And it's time that we rise up and be a bride that knows who she is. Then no matter what people don't see, it doesn't matter because you see who you really are. You're going to burn for something. It ought to be him. Come on, man. The reality of the gospel, burn. I love what Pastor said. Burn, I burn. 2 hours of sleep, I burn. Come on, this thing's awesome. So I went to the gym the first day and I walked in there in Australia. And it's weird because like you ask people if you can pray for them and they say, what does that look like? And the church, when I got there, I got off the plane and Derek is like, the guy's like, hey man, he goes, I just want to let you know that Australia is different than other places. I said, I don't care. I'm really serious. Not that I don't care, like in my heart, I just don't care what other people think. I'm going to be Jesus here. That's not blasphemy. You said that you follow him, you ought to walk just like him. Anybody that says that they abide in him ought walk just like he walked, or you don't believe the gospel. You're supposed to walk just like him. Come on, man. So how did Jesus walk? He went about doing good and he healed everybody that was oppressed by the devil. He was manifest to destroy hell. 1 John 3:8, that's his mission. That's yours. Destroy hell. Every day, everywhere you go, no matter what you think about it, your mind can't get in the way. It can, but it ought not. You ought to lead with your heart because it's not with the mind one believes, it's with a heart one believes. Our brain needs to settle. Our heart needs to come out. Come on, anybody ever watch something on TV, like some kind of show where like, especially guys, man, like watch something, you start crying, like you look around like, man, I'm crying, what's going on? Brain catches up and you're like, that was dumb. Come on, for real. Right? Because what happened? Your heart just took you a place your brain couldn't fit. And then brain figures it out and it's like, whoa, that's dumb. Stop the crying. Heart, be quiet. So what God wants you to do is lead the same way in the gospel. Or your heart can take you places your brain can't even squeeze through. Or your brain's trying to get in, your heart's already in there. Come on, follow me. Oh man, it's good. So I get there to the gym and I'm like, I'm gonna tell some testimonies tonight and I'm gonna preach some gospel and we're gonna get like set free from us, okay? You guys good with that? All right, just be okay with me sharing my life because I want to, because it's just, every day is an experience. Every day is a testimony. It's like amazing. I just went to a restaurant and had real fun, just like in a couple of minutes, man. Yeah! Serious. It's like a frenzy of love. God loves people. I don't need them to agree with me. God loves them. And once I know him, I know what love looks like, what love is, then I can just become love. I'm not in the gospel so I can get to heaven. That's great. That'll happen. But what about now? It's not okay to live like hell headed to heaven. It's not at all. It's tragedy. Come on, man. The only one that has the right to be hopeless is the devil. And hope deferred makes your heart sick. So if your hope's deferred, you're thinking like him. I'm real simple, so if I can get it, you can too, okay? Really, just got to turn this off, just turn this up. Come on, right, Ryan? Come on, man. Welcome to the club, Brian. Stand up, Ryan. Brand new, one day old in Jesus. Come on. Thanks, man. Came last night and I saw him going through the crowds, man. Just like, saw him and I'm chasing him on the chairs. I'm standing up on the chairs trying to find him. And he's like, I'm like, man, I got you, man. I did. That's what I was saying. And then you came here and I went, dude. And you went, whoa. And I just hugged him and I watched him get set free from hell. Oh, dude, it's good news. See, some of you are too smart for this. I'm blessed. I got a big heart and a little brain. Come on, because why? Because your brain's not meant to be wise. When you think your brain is wise, you have the wisdom of the world. And it's both sensual and demonic. The wisdom of the world, what does it do? It's envy and it's self-seeking and everything evil is in that place. And when you think you have the wisdom of the world, you are living in a place of envy. You're living in a place of self-seeking and everything evil is in that place. That's in James. But it says the wisdom from above, wow, it's awesome. The wisdom from above is peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, it's full of good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. That's the wisdom from above. So all of you that say you have wisdom, all that stuff should be what you're carrying. And you can't carry it without him. The gospel is set up that you cannot do it without God. You can think what you want to think. It ain't working. Because you're thinking. For real. Come on, it's really that easy. Well, how do I stop thinking? Just believe. What did he do? Well, where are you at? Is it all about you or is it all about him? Well, you know, I'm trying. I'm working on it. Well, stop working. Oh, come on. I'm going to make it really easy, guys. You cannot make it in by works. You cannot have this thing by working it. You cannot work on it. The more you work on it, the more you're not surrendered, the more you're trying to work at it. Come on. Jesus says, if you don't believe me through the things that I say, at least believe me through the works that I do. For it's the Father that dwells in me that does the works. So the works isn't what you can do in your own strength. The works are what the Father can do through you in his strength. Galatia, just talking about it. Turkey, right? Awesome. You know, I think it's Galatians 3. It says, who's like put witchcraft on you guys? That you think you can do it in your own strength, what was already accomplished in the Spirit. Who has bewitched you? Who has put a spell on you, thinking that you can do it in your own strength, what God's already done through his Spirit? So I can do that. Okay, God, you got to do it. All right, what's next? Well, first, Todd, you've got to believe. Okay, believe in what? Believe that what my son did is enough. And then you don't have to add anything to it, but you have to live from it. What does that mean? Well, Todd, everything that you were, the second that you say, I do, I say, you are. Wait a second, God, what does that mean? Well, the second that I agree with him, that what Jesus Christ did is enough, Jesus said, it is finished for a reason. He did not say it's to be continued. He said, it is finished. What does that mean? What do you mean, finished? God, explain. My son paid the price so that you didn't have to. And you could step into a finished work, a work that has already been finished. Actually, the Bible says that it's been finished from the beginning of time. That's whacked. Definitely can't wrap my head around that one. I won't even try. He was crucified before the foundation of the world. Right? Come on, that's hard. No way. There's no way. This thing's not meant for your brain. Paul was the scholar of scholars. Wrote 13 of the epistles. 13 letters. Amazing, brilliant man. Who said, all that I know, all that I've learned, all of my work, all of my thoughts, all of my thinking, dung. Poop. I count it all nothing for the sake of knowing him. His number one prayer, oh, that I might know him more. What should our number one prayer be? There's a key here. Oh, God, that I might know you more. So I just simply came into the gospel and said yes to what Jesus did. I just said yes. God says something about me, I say yes. The devil says something about me, I deny it. Denied. He says, well, if you're really forgiven, then why are you thinking about it? I'm not thinking about it. You're whispering in my ear. You're a stranger's voice. I will never follow you. God, thank you. You're amazing. Oh, my gosh. Why would you rebuke the devil to get behind you? He's already there. That's silly. I resist you, devil. I command you, get behind me. He's laughing, waiting for you to shut your mouth. And bam, as soon as you shut your mouth. Why? Because he's got you riled up and you're not in rest and you can't make it. I've never been outside of rest since I've been born again. It's been 7 years and I'm really free and I'm getting more free every day. And I'm going to be way more whacked when you see me, because I'm more whacked this year than you saw me last year. I am. I am possessed, man. It's full on possession. Oh gosh, it is. Oh, he just, I love God so much, man, that it doesn't matter where I'm at, what situation I'm in. You know, I walked into that gym in Australia, right? And I'm like, hey, I'm here to work out. How much is it? They're like, $20 a day. I went, wow, okay. She goes, you know what? $10 a day. I went, all right, thanks. Just favor, crazy. Just honest, man. It's just how it rolls. I'm serious, it's crazy, it's good. I don't ever pray for that stuff. It just is because I have favor with him. Because he loves me because I'm a son. I don't do that to get my way. I just do that because I'm living in his way. So I go, oh, it's really nice to meet you guys. How you doing? Good. Where are you from? I'm from Pennsylvania. Where's that? East coast of America. I'm in Australia, you know, like 38 hours travel time away. So I'm like, it's crazy. This is my first day there. I'm 15 hours the day ahead. How do you, it's crazy. I left and got back the same time I left. Swack, right? It'd be good for birthdays and holidays, right? Hey. So I go in there and I said, it's really nice to be here. I said, this is my first day here. The people are amazing. You guys are amazing. Well, thank you. You are very happy. I said, I am so happy. Why are you so happy? I said, because I've got a king lives in me. They're like, a king? America? All we hear about America is that they can't handle their money. That's what they hear about America. And it's pretty true. So, serious, that's what he said. That's all they said. And I said, wow. I said, you know what, sir? He was standing behind the counter. He's just looking at me, real like buff dude. I said, you know what I'm hearing in my heart? I said, I'm hearing that you have a disc in your neck that's messed up your right shoulder and also your right knee. He's like, he pulls his knee out from behind the thing and he has a bandage around it. He goes, that's crazy. I said, not yet. I promise. It's really good news. See, I don't have to get him in agreement. I just don't. I got to get him to hold still. Serious. And even then, I don't have to, really. So I get him. I said, come here. You guys come out here. I said to the girls. There was like three girls back there and him. And I sat him down and I prayed for him. And God heals this kid. And he's like, I feel the energy. I said, it's mistaken. I said, New Age calls it energy. But in Christ, in Jesus, the Christ who lives inside the King that I shared with you, he lives in me and it's through Holy Spirit. What you're feeling is Holy Spirit. And I said, God, I just thank you for more. And he went, whoa. Honest, really. And the girl's like, this is crazy, absolutely crazy. Two of them left. They're like, they walked away. Like, this is nuts. I cannot believe this is happening right now. I said, you know what? I said, what's really awesome? I said, I see you're a trainer. I said, but I actually see you having a business on like a web, like some kind of a web business, but it's going to be different because you're going to actually physically train people in their homes on your website. It's going to be like a personal training thing, but it's going to be worldwide web. And it's going to even go deeper than that. You're actually going to have a holographic image of yourself that's going to be projected into the house and you're going to train people. He's like, that's absolutely crazy, man. That's what I'm working on. He goes, this is nuts because it's coming. You'll see it. People are going to preach in your house. Woo! He's like, this is absolutely crazy. I said, man, I said, what I'm talking about? I said, it's not, you've never seen it, right? He goes, no, this is totally crazy. The one girl's sitting there listening. I said, this is Jesus, man. He lives inside of me. He loves you so much that he told me everything about you. And I said, and you? And I started to talk to the girl. She's like, this is crazy. Crazy. I said, I just want to tell you that I'm going to be here for 4 days. I'm going to see you guys every day. I didn't try to go for their jugular vein or get them saved. You don't have to. You need to represent him well so that people want what we have. You don't have to go after people. Ministers, do not go after people to make it all about your soul winning. Because we've developed a love for souls and forgotten a love for people. And it's not okay. It's not a numbers game. It's not comparing, I got five people saved, how many did you get saved? That's sin. It promotes envy. It promotes self-seeking. Come on, man. It's all about the love of God. People say, how many souls have you seen saved? I say, I don't know. A whole lot of people have come to God. Well, what's your formula? I just walk like Jesus. What do you mean? Here, let me show you. Come on, let's go out to lunch. And all of a sudden, they just get wrecked, man. Like, what is going on? Because people don't have a paradigm, a grid for the reality of walking like Christ. You kids get a hold of walking like Jesus in your school, it is over. I promise you. Why would you want anything else if you could walk like Jesus walked? Why? Because everybody wanted to be around Jesus. Everybody. They followed him for days without food. Come and sit. Come on in, guys. It's lots of people. Dude, if people need a seat, and you young people, take a floor, man. Let people sit. Come on. Give it up. If you can sit on the floor, do it. Just let some people sit down if they're coming in. Yeah. It's good. It's one big happy family. Come on. Party time. Let's do it. All right. So that's my first day. I go up and I work out and I'm just doing the cross. They call it the cross trainer. I'm doing the elliptical, you know, and I'm like having a good time singing, praising Jesus, man. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You're amazing. God, thank you that you can take this gym out loud. Thanks, God. You're amazing. People are watching me like, dude's talking to himself. What's wrong with this guy? Everything's right with me. Nothing's wrong. I had issues. Before Christ came, I had a lifetime subscription. But all my issues were in the very fact that I was separated from God, and now I'm not. So my issues are over. I don't have issues, guys. I don't have secrets. I don't have closets. I'm in love. Oh, I am. And I just want to tell the whole world about it everywhere I go. It's really fun. It's really good. I'm going to tell you some stuff that's going to freak you out today a little, probably. Because I've had some encounters with Muslims lately, and it's been really amazing. Really. So I go in there, and I get a word about some lady. Actually, the first one was somebody I saw that had a wrist brace on. So I get done the elliptical. I walk over, and I said, hey, I said, what happened to your hand? She goes, well, I don't know what it is. The doctors can't find it. I said, really? I said, let me see it. She goes, why? Pray for her. She goes, who are you? I said, I'm a Christian. See, the church in Australia is small, and they really keep to themselves from what I've seen. Not all of it, but from where I was. I was in Adelaide, which is the first place that I went. And when we went to the mall the one day, they told me that there are these preachers that come there, and they get loudspeakers, and they preach hellfire and brimstone messages against the people and condemn everybody. So the grid that they have in that town for Christians is that that's what a Christian is. I said to them, do you know how much of a gold mine you're in right now, guys? See, Derek said to me, you don't know, you're like, this is different. I said, I don't care, man. It doesn't matter what people are, because I'm not gonna change. I'm me, it's gonna be really good. All right, man. By the time we left the airport, four people got healed. Rocked, security, janitors, people. What are we thinking? Why would I ever be influenced by what somebody doesn't see? Why wouldn't I set my sight on him? Why wouldn't I just see Jesus and walk like him? If God says I can, who are you to say I can't? I won't say and fight you and say you're totally wrong. I'll just walk like him and my fruit on my tree will hang and you'll say, dude, that's a good tree right there. Why would I have to convince you of what kind of tree I am? When's the last time you saw an apple tree in an orchard going, apples, come on, ah, yes. If God's well pleased that we bear much fruit, what kind of fruit are we supposed to bear? It's not just Love, peace, patience, joy. It's not just that. What kind of fruit did Jesus bear? Come on, think about it. You're supposed to walk like Jesus. What kind of fruit did Jesus bear? Dude, amazing fruit. And the Word of God says that I'm supposed to bear more. Come on. Either God's right on that one or you're wrong. John 14, 12 says, he who believes in me, believe. He who, not the specially anointed pastor, not the amazing evangelist, not the incredible apostle, not the puzzling prophet, not the tenacious teacher. Dude, where's that coming from? But he who believes the same things that I do and greater are the believers going to do. Because I'm going to go to be with my Father. Come on, there is a reason why Jesus said, you know what, guys? I know that it's cool that you think that it's great that I'm hanging with you now and we've had a lot of fun, but it's going to be to your benefit that I go away. It's going to be better for you. My presence with you is going to be far exceeded by my presence within you if I go away. But if I don't go, he won't come. But if I do, he will. And I won't leave you as orphans. So why would you have an orphan spirit? Come on. What? He said, I won't leave you as orphans. Yeah. Come on. To be an orphan in the gospel means to not know your father. But God's a father and a good one. Best dad in the whole world. Got the best dad. Yeah. Oh, I'm being lighthearted because I'm about to like pack a wallop. Serious. As I love you, but we need change. We don't need our ears tickled. It's fun to laugh and it's fun to joy, but people are dying. A boy committed suicide at a school. And there are kids at that high school that would call themselves Christians that walk by that boy every day that never, ever, ever, ever said a word. And that's not being mean. I'm being real. Holy Spirit's nice. See, he gets us really happy, our heart wide open, laughing, and then he takes a sword and digs it deep into our heart. And the laughing isn't like, it's like anesthesia. It's good. It's like, yay, oh. Oh. It's good. It's better this way. It helps. It does, man. Sometimes it's just full on like, it's okay that way too. So, lady, her arm gets healed. And I walk back over. I get another word about the cross trainer. This is just 1 hour. Another one gets touched. Gets rocked. Says, who are you? I'm a Christian. Correct. Jesus lives in me. No, you're not. Yes, I am, honestly. Jesus lives inside of me. I just prayed for you. And Jesus, through me, just touched you and healed your body. Jesus just told me everything about you. The reason why I know is because God knows everything about everybody. He's the one that created you. I don't believe in God. Well, he believes in you. He believes in you enough to tell me everything about you, regardless of what you believe in. Do you know, he's a better evangelist than we are. He is. And his motive isn't just to get him to pray a prayer. Oh, man. Come on. His motive is for you to become just like you were created in his image. That redemption means I'm brought back to the original value, the original reason why I was created, and I was not created for me. What does it cost you? The only thing that Christian life costs you is something you were never created to be in the beginning, because you were never created for you. You were created for him. You were created to manifest him and not you. I say it all the time, man. Mercy woke us up this morning. Gave us one more day to manifest him and not us. It's the reason why you woke up. The reason why mercy said, hey, time to wake up. It's new this morning. My mercy, it's new. Yes, you can live like me today. Come on, go be me. Oh, come on. So all kinds of people get touched. I go to leave. They're like, hey, wait a minute. I said, no, I got to go. I'm actually running behind. Wait, hold on. Where are you staying? What's going on? Why are you here? I said, I'm speaking at a conference at this church up the way. But like, that's not why I pray for you guys, not to get you to just come to church. I just, because God loves you. They're like, yeah, no, we can tell. You're different. So I leave and had an amazingly glorious time, man. Oh, awesome. Next day, go to the gym again. Same place. What would it look like if one person got possessed and was at the same place day after day after day and had God's heart for everyone in there? How long would it take for your workplace to bow? See, I've seen my workplaces bow. Oh, come on. This is so silly. We're so used to being pottered and manipulated by what people say or think that we live our life and we're governed by the fear of man. Oh, man, come on. That thing needs to die. We need to be governed by the fear of the Lord. Not afraid of him, in love with him, in awe of him. Oh, God, you're amazing. People say, yeah, well, and you're just like, God, you never change. You're amazing. Best friend, I can't believe you. I'll never talk to you again. Wife, I don't want to ever hang out with you again. Sister, you are a freak. Uncle, you're crazy, man. You're absolutely loony. I don't even know what has come over you. Get away from me. Your sister, you know, I love you, but this is too much. Everyone turns their back. And I say, God, you never change. See all that stuff happen in my life. Oh, God. Oh, man, if you ever find out that when the enemy touches you, he takes a risk every time. If you ever find out as a person, as a man of God, if you're not a man of God and you came here, you will be, or woman of God, you will be before you leave. If you ever find out that when Satan touches you, he takes a risk. Because if you know it's him, he'll push you closer to an intimacy with the Father. He takes the risk every time. See, but he knows that when he touches us, we're so touchy-feely. Then when he touches us, that we respond like hell. Flip out. Oh, world! No! My job! My boss! My kids! No, God, what are you doing? That's what he wants you to say. Why? Because Satan sneaks in, bites somebody, and God takes the rap. But if we know who's touching us, he's finished. Oh my gosh. Why? Because we'll know it's the enemy. I told a story today. I was telling Pastor. I said, you know, we built a house in the midst of an economy. Lots of testimony, lots of stuff led up to this. I kind of shared here's the gist of it. When we tore down our trailer and we built a house in the midst of a crushed economy, I had no paycheck coming in from ministry. And my wife had worked at a place for 16 years, solid, man. She's the breadwinner, right? Drug addiction, all that stuff. I had worked and then I put in 2 weeks and one thing led to another and it's just crazy. So we're 2 weeks from moving into our house and I'm out doing something in ministry and no guaranteed paycheck coming in, right? And my wife goes to work after 16 years of service. We're going to move into our house in 2 weeks. And she went to work and they said, you're fired. Take your stuff and leave. See, that's the devil. He's done. See, but that's, I've been groomed in this thing. I've been in fire all the time. I live in fire. Jesus isn't in the rosy garden. He's in the fire, guys. Do you understand that? He's in the fire. If you will just see. Turn up the heat. Man, come on, Nebuchadnezzar, like he threw the boys in the furnace and it was hot. The first set of heat would have killed him, but seven times hotter killed his own people. Listen, the first fire would have killed the boys. He turned it up seven times hotter. And how many times have we been in fire and cried out to God and it got hotter? Oh, man. Come on, my wife. She calls me. She goes, honey. She goes, I went to work this morning and they fired me. I said, oh, this is awesome. No joke. I promise. We're 2 weeks from moving into a new house. I said, this is amazing. That's honestly what I said. She goes, okay, explain, please. We're going to process. I said, if God doesn't show up, we're done. Simple. If God doesn't show up, we're finished. Come on, we tore our place down. We built the house. We got a whole new set of bills. I already severed the paycheck coming from the ministry. Not going to take a paycheck coming from the ministry. Whatever God does, that's how we're going to live. But we got your paycheck, honey, so we're going to be okay. We're going to trust you this much, God. But we got this, so we're good. And then this is whoop. Okay, this now went whoop. For real. Honest. I said, honey, let me ask you a question. If God didn't show up, could I be your husband? She said, absolutely not. Any of you that have heard my testimony know that it was horrible. I said, if God didn't show up, could I be a father to our kids? No way. I said, what makes you think that we could have a house without him? I said, you go home and be a mom. Come on, dude. Looks like everything is yanked out from under us. Satan wants us to blame God and say, God, what are you doing? When really it's just the devil playing into the hand of God again. Jesus said something really important, lots of things really important, but he said, when I return, will I really find faith? I'm not saying quit your job at all. I'm saying that's what happened. How you handle everything that happens is everything. What you see in the midst of that stuff is everything. Guys, we can do this. Come on. Are you okay? I'm bouncing around a little bit, but it's okay. I went second day, gym, bang, 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 bang. Again. Now four people that work there in a small gym are healed. Freaking out. The manager won't talk to me. I say hi to her, and she just kind of watches me from around the corner. She doesn't come close to me. Honestly, she doesn't come close. She's an aerobics instructor. She's like power pack, man. You know, she's like aggressive. Women in Australia are aggressive, man. Knock you out if you say the wrong thing. I'm serious. They're tough, man. No joke. So she's just watching. Third day, again, more. Prophecy, different stuff. The third night when I went home, I said, there was this guy there. He's just like a huge, like about this tall, just like block. And his name was Ben. I found out his name was Ben. I said, tomorrow God's going to touch Ben. It's going to be awesome. So the next morning I go there. This is just before anything services anything. It's just my life. It's my life. I mean, I love when people get healed at meetings. I love it. It's awesome. I love living and walking like Jesus, man, because he says I can. But lots of people tell me that's not true. Well, after I've walked it out, too bad for you. I've had people tell me, well, you need to listen. You need to find balance. I said, wait, what do you mean? Well, you know, there's balance. There's wisdom. You can't just stop. I love you, but just if I'm in a dream, don't wake me up. Let me go. I'm serious. It's good news. If you're not in good news, you're believing the wrong gospel. So the next day I go in and Ben is in the room, the trainer room. And I said, hey, Ben. He goes, hey. I said, man, I've been seeing you the last couple of days. I wanted to share something that's been on my heart. He goes, yeah, you've talked to a lot of people. I said, I talk to people all the time, man. I'm a people person. I am. Jesus is a people person. So like I said to him, man, you got some stuff going on over here. And I prayed for him and he does some push-ups. Ah, it still hurts a little bit. Prayed for him again. Bang. Pray for him again. He goes, this is crazy, man. What is going on? Can you do me a favor? He said, can you tell me why all these things are happening through you? And I said, yeah, man. I said, but I got to work out. He goes, well, I get off in a minute. I'll be up. So he came up and he sat there for 27 minutes after I was in 3 minutes on the cross trainer. And I just preached the kingdom, shared it with him. He's like, this is amazing. And I prophesied, I shared the heart of God for his future. He's like, I've never known what I wanted to do, but personal training isn't what I want to do. This is what I want to do. I said, it's awesome, isn't it? He goes, this is like too good to be true. I said, no, it's so good that he is true. Wow, this is crazy. Man, I love you, man. It's so nice to meet you. He goes, are you coming tomorrow? I said, well, this is my last day that I can work out, man. But man, it's so nice meeting you. You're amazing. Man, Jesus loves you. He goes, I believe you. He's not a believer until then. See, it's not your sinner's prayer. It's the heart change. All of a sudden, God's goodness comes. I asked my wife this morning, I said, why? Or tonight, I'm like, God, I'm so wrecked. You know what she said? Honey, it's just his goodness. I just lost it, man. Because that's really what it is. You know, I leave and I'm gone and my kids are at home and my wife's at home. And it's not a sacrifice. There is no option. It's not a sacrifice. There is no option. I have no plan B, see? It's all of him, period. I don't separate God from, people say it's God, then ministry, then work, then this and that. That's a great tool for teaching, but it's not biblically right. First it's God, then it's God, then it's God, then it's God, then it's God. Then we have it right. Because if God's not just as powerful in your relationship and your intimacy, then God's not just as powerful in your intimacy and relationship with your family. And if God's not just as powerful in your intimacy and in your relationship with your family, God will never be just as powerful on your job and at your work and at your school. It's God, then it's God, then it's God, then it's God. Do not compartmentalize him. He is God full time. He never changes. And he created us in his image to walk the same as he walked. And I will walk that way. Oh, tried and tested by fire. Still today. Fire today. So what? What is your fire to me, King? Even if I die, I'll serve him. That's what the boy said. Oh, it's on. Dude, it's so over. Oh, God. You guys okay? Yeah. You think I'm crazy? I am. I am totally out of your mind. I am. Oh, gosh. So Ben and I, we walk downstairs. He's like, man, thank you so much. And he walks ahead. I go to get my stuff. And Ben walks over and he says, he's talking to some lady. And I said, hey, I said, what's going on? And I said, Ben, I said, who's this? He said, that's my mom. I said, wow, nice to meet you, mom. She said, who are you? I said, I'm Ben's new friend. I live in the United States. I said, I had a conversation. I said, you have an amazingly awesome young man for son. She said, thank you. So I talked to Ben about his father and about some weird, just some stuff, man. And told him that who he is comes from God, his father. He's just like on page. And his mom's standing there. And I said, how are you doing, honey? You doing okay? I said, your back's really bad, huh? You messed up. Ben just looks at me, looks at her. His mom's not a Christian. I said, yeah, it's really messed up. She goes, oh, it's terrible. I said, it's in your right hip. It's really, yeah, I just. Ben, who is this man? Honest. You know what Ben said? He's a Christian, mom. Christian? Absolutely. I said, come here, you're going to like this. She came over, prayed for her, and her hip gets healed, and she freaked out. She goes, you know, she goes, I wish that God would do that for my crooked shoulder. That's what they call a hurt shoulder or something. I said, are you kidding me? A crooked shoulder, like it's hurt. I said, what are you talking about? I said, Ben, put your hand on your mom. He goes, okay. I said, you love your mom, Ben? Yes, I love my mom. Put your hand on her shoulder. Say this, Ben, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, shoulder, I command you be healed. I command you be healed. She goes, there's heat. What's going on? She moves her shoulder around. She goes, Ben goes, my mom's about to cry right now. Serious. This happens every day. Every day. Guys, what are we doing? What do we really serve? Who's your God? You? Come on, man. Stand up, rise up, and be the man or woman of God that God created you to be. People say, well, you know what? It's not all about miracles. No, you're right. That's why I have great character that's outstanding. It is. And I'm not boasting in me because it's God. It's Christ in me. Mm-hmm. Listen, God is raising up a breed of people that will be so sound in character that the power of God won't be questioned. Jesus said, do not quench the Spirit. How do you quench the Spirit? By stopping him from flowing through you and touching the world around you and doing what only God can do, because I'm not a healer, but he is and he lives in me. I'm not a prophesier, but he lives in me and he loves to prophesy over people. He said, do not quench the Spirit. But the same Jesus, through Holy Spirit, inspired, spoke through men and said, do not quench the Spirit. Which is more important, to not grieve or to not quench? When you grieve, when you quench the Spirit, you step outside of the authority of the kingdom and you don't allow the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do, because you're uncomfortable and you fail to rely upon the comforter to make you comfortable. When you grieve the Spirit, you step outside of character and righteousness and understanding who you are as a son, and your character is a mishap and whacked out. It's time that we have a real move of God where you would not quench and not grieve. They would marry and become one and look just like Jesus. That's what God's doing on the earth. Oh, I promise. Yeah. So his mom is freaked out. She said, are you kidding me? I said, no, ma'am. I said, check your shoulder. She's like, oh my goodness. She goes, do you know how much money I've spent on trying to get the shoulder fixed? I said, isn't this awesome that Jesus already paid the price and it's free? For real. Overwhelmed she is. Ben's overwhelmed. Man, I just need contact information. I want to stay in touch with you. This is amazing. And I went, and it's my last day there, and I walk around the corner, and the manager's there. And I walked up to her. She's trying to, like, kind of duck. I said, hey. So I need to talk to you for a second. I said, I'm leaving today. She goes, who are you? Honest. I said, I'm a Christian. She goes, no, they told me. But where are you from? And how are you doing these things? Like, what's going on? I said, well, Christianity is not just an Easter story. I mean, it's great. And then we say, well, Christianity is just someone's path. They found their path. And then New Age is a path. And the Muslim, it's a path. And then the Hindu, it's a path. And the Wiccan, it's a path. But all paths don't lead to the same place. And I said, see, this is totally different. It's not called a path. It's called a road. And I just shared the heart of God about a narrow road, a narrow gate. I said, many are called. You're called. A few find it. And I just shared the heart of God for her husband, who's in business, and prophesied about what's going to happen in the next 12 months about his business. She's like, this is great. This is going to happen. I said, yes, ma'am. She's real aggressive. I said, also, I said, your husband's dealing with something in his left shoulder. She goes, oh, yes. I said, we're going to pray right now, and God's going to heal his shoulder right now. She goes, okay, what do we do? I said, I'm just going to pray. She prayed. She goes, oh, I don't know what to say. I said, how about this? Just know that God loves you. She goes, you know? She goes, we're going to miss you. Serious. Listen, this is real. She listened to her heart. She goes, you know? She goes, I've never met you, but everybody at the whole club loves you. The members, the employees, everyone. We love you. We love what you bring with you when you come into this place. And honestly, when I leave and I cry because I've had people where I talk to them and pray for them, and they say, and I say, man, I'm just Christian. And they say, no, you ain't. No, you ain't. I know Christians and you ain't one. I promise. And I say, no, I'm serious. I remember the first time it happened, man. I prayed for this guy in the parking lot at work, and I was dirty. I was all messed up. And I asked him, I approached him into McDonald's. You guys okay with me sharing? I'm just sharing from my heart, okay? Because it intensifies the hunger for God, honestly. Because it's the real deal. There's no fake in it. I don't have to make up anything. Let's hang out and you'll see. It's real. Come on. It's contagious. It is. So I'm walking through the McDonald's parking lot at lunch, man. I'm a slate roofer. I'm really dirty, man. And I see this guy walking through the parking lot. He's limping. He's like this. I said, hey, man. He goes, what? It's in Baltimore City, dude. You know, it's in the tough area. It's in the hood. So I'm like, hey, man, easy, dude. I said, I don't want nothing from you, man. I said, I just want to know why you're limping. He said, why? What's to you, man? I said, man, I just want to know why you're limping. That's all. He goes, why, man? I said, because I want to pray for you. Pray for me? I'm serious. What you want to pray for me for? I said, because God will heal you. What? He's an older guy. He's probably like, I don't know. He goes, what you want to pray for me for? I said, because God wants to heal you. He said, he ain't going to heal me. Who do you think you are? Really? He's angry. I said, well, okay. I said, I'm going in here to get lunch. He goes, me too. And I walked beside him. Serious. I said, look at me, man. We get to line, you know, and he orders his stuff, and I swiped my card and paid for his meal. And I backed up. He goes, what are you doing, man? I said, I'm paying for your lunch. Why, man? Listen to this. Because I love you. For real. I'm not kidding, man. I've had hundreds of these kind of encounters. Hundreds. What are you going to do to me? Kill me? You can't. Oh, come on. What are we doing? I'm never going to die. Oh, you don't know what I feel when I say that in my heart. All you can do is usher me into his presence. I'm in his presence now. And I'm really okay with that. And if you can, I don't think you can. If you can kill me, I don't think you can. Oh, I'm not kidding. Oh, I'm being real, man. You see my face? I'm really not joking. Because I've already died. I've already given myself to him. He loves me. He's profusely in love with me. I'm not doing this to impress you, I'm telling you real life stuff because it's yours if you want it. I'm not telling you this so you can say, ooh, Todd White. Man, I'm so done with that stuff. I was done with it before it even happened. Why? Because my heart is to equip the bride to be who she's called to be through identity, through the reality of a life lived, that it can be an example, a model. That's what God said, Todd, I'm raising you up to kick people out of the boat because you're going to model me. That's awesome. Well, that's like some big sandals to fill, right? Jesus sandals. You would have to walk like Jesus and depend like Jesus did on what he depended on to be able to walk like him. That means we just have to depend upon him and stop depending upon us because we get us in trouble. So pay for this guy's meal. He's like, man, you're crazy. I said, yeah. I stand up. I get my stuff. Go out to the car. He limps out to the car, you know. I walk up. I said, man, let me pray for you. He said, man, go ahead already. So I prayed for him, right? Just prayed for him. Just put my hand on his shoulders. God, thank you. Brand new hip. Brand new disc, God. Brand new, God, thanks. Jesus' name. And he just looked at me weird. And tears filled his eyes. He said, man. He starts moving his leg around. Who are you, man? Promise. exactly how it happened. I said, I'm a Christian. He goes, no, you ain't. See, he was homeless. I said, Christians, come up and give me tracts. Tell me about their Jesus. They just walk by, just carry on with whatever they're doing. He said, you ain't a Christian. You Jesus. Listen. I burst into tears. And I said, I just want to tell you that I'm sorry for the church and how she's acted. And I just want to sorry you. I'm sorry for the way that we've treated you. And I just love you and I'm sorry. He said, man, it's all right, man. You Jesus. I said, well, can I give you a hug? He said, yeah, man. Gave him a hug. I said, I got to get back to work, man. I went back to work a mess. And I've heard that comment again and again and again and again. That is who we're called to be. You're called to be Jesus to your family. You're called to be Jesus to your school. You're called to be Jesus to your football team. You're called to be Jesus to your neighborhood. You're called to be Jesus to the people that are the meanest to you. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. But be of good cheer, because I overcame that stuff.